To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. I'm bringing you The Adventures of Alibi Jones, science fiction set in the not-too-distant future, the 2130s, at this point, the late 2130s. I missed a week, I'm sorry. I was off to Aresia last weekend, Martin Luther King Day Junior weekend, and not a junior weekend at all. I was gone Friday through Mondays. Got a chance to be on a few panels, three panels, although my fourth, unfortunately, I got iced out. I was staying at my mom's place out in the burbs, and she got a ton of snow and then ice on top of it. There was no way I could make it into Boston for that Sunday morning 10 a.m. one, unfortunately. But had a great time otherwise. Three other panels. Friday, we had a panel. Friday night. And then two Saturday afternoon. If you missed me on the podcast, you could have found me at Aresia in Boston. It's a big science fiction and fantasy convention. It was good to be there. Now I'm back home. Back into more of a routine as we head through the winter here in Vermont. Snow flying this morning. I'm recording Sunday morning. I put my notes together Saturday night, but then I was like, you know what? Time to sleep. But yeah, Sunday here and getting back into Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. Alibi Jones has suddenly taken up jogging. It's not some health craze. It's part of Krish's plan for getting Alibi off of Ceres Central and out of the clutches of the Solar Alliance and the Project. Because both those organizations are no longer as friendly to Alibi as they once were. Now they are being taken over by some of the new regime's people. So, there's too many of their scientists, and they are Krish's associates, but he doesn't hold with what they want to do here. Too many of them kind of want to dissect Alibi and discover how an alien life form, the Rodae, have bonded with him and replaced part of his leg. He's jogging, and we're going to join Alibi on his jog as he's starting this new health routine. Yeah, that's coming up in Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio, and that's all you need to know to get into the chapter, I promise. So first, we're going to get into a little bit of news before we do get into the storytelling. I've got the brand new book just came out, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, and that is available in paperback and as an ebook right now. And the good news is I have sent the audio files off as of this morning. It's a very productive Sunday morning. I finished up re-editing Vacation, which I have done. So yes, yet another one of those short stories getting a new treatment there. Not the prose, but the actual audio. I re-edited it. Changed it up a little bit, tightened things, expanded some things. I just made it sound better, you know? I can't resist tinkering when I'm doing this stuff. So that is it. It is now at ACX Audible. So it should soon, in the next week or two, be coming out as an audiobook as well. But that is The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories. I've got Father's Day, Blind Eye, In Over His Head, Vacation, The Wishing Stone, and Christmas Present. So of all of those now, man, the audio, there's a new introduction, which is in itself about 15 minutes long. Talking about how the book came together, so there's that. It's kind of like this podcast in some ways. Then there's Father's Day, the first short story. I did not re-edit the prose adaptation. Kind of wished I did. I did redo the audio, but the prose is as it was, that first adaptation. Blind Eye is a total redo. New adaptation right from the original comic book script. New re-recording of the audio. In Over His Head, the same thing. new adaptation from the comic book script and a new redo of the audio. So completely redone in those two cases. Vacation? Pretty much the same. I mean, I didn't change the prose, and it is the same raw audio recording that was in the original version of The Adventures of Alibi Jones' six short stories, but it has been re-edited. I went through it last night and today and just did a total re-edit of the audio because I just felt like it wasn't quite as good as it should have been. I'm not kind of a perfectionist because I'm doing this stuff professionally now. I want it to sound good, you know? And of course, Christmas Present is the brand new story. So that's new from scratch as of the end of last year, 2018. All those are out now as a prose, paperback, or ebook. And they are coming as a new audiobook. And of course, you can always read those stories as comic book stories, with the exception of Christmas Present, which isn't out yet. But those stories are in the first two issues of The Adventures of Alibi Jones comic book stories. Now, I was just mentioning, I am now narrating audiobooks as a profession. I'm doing this professionally. So there's one out now called The Productivity Method that I narrate. And I just finished the audio of The Rhine. Harmony Part 1, Harmony Book 1, written by R.L. Dean. And I'm looking forward to this one coming out. I think you're going to like this. If you like my stuff, I think you're going to like Ron's stuff. R.L. Dean. He's written a really cool book that sets up a pretty cool universe. A little bit like mine, a lot different too. So, again, that's The Rhine, Harmony Book 1 by R.L. Dean. I have just finished narrating it. And now you can go to glowinthedarkradio.com and check out my voice work. You can check out a retail sample of that new one that's coming, The Rhine. Or you can check out the retail sample of The Productivity Method if you just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the top there where it says voice work, or glowinthedarkradio.com/voice-work. So I'm looking forward to this stuff coming out. You know, I'm starting this whole new career, really, of reading other people's books. And if you're interested in getting me as a narrator, I am available at reasonable rates. You can go to that page for more info, or just get in touch. You know, glowinthedarkradio@gmail.com is my email address. I think that's enough news. How about we get into Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest, up next on Glow in the Dark Radio, after a word from Nutty.
Wake up. Go to work. Work. Come home. Eat dinner. Rot your brain out. Go to bed. Lather. Rinse. Repeat. Are you tired of an old humdrum life? Tired of things that just weigh you down and depress you? Wouldn't you rather just focus on things that are awesome? Tune into Nutty Bites. Find out what's awesome. Nutty Bites. NIMLAS.org/blog.
Now, here's Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. After a minute or so of jogging, Alibi reached an intersecting corridor and stopped to take out his wand to check the route. The guard nearly ran into him. "Sorry," the guard said, panting a little. "Just trying to figure out which way the dock is sending me," Alibi said. "There we go." Alibi jogged down the right corridor, his shadow following a short distance back. The route turned out to be kind of scenic, taking Alibi through parts of the station new to him, or not so new but forgotten. Alibi opened a door onto a corridor that ran along the outer wall of the station, and discovered the upper wall and ceiling were transparent. He could see the stars and the surface of Ceres outside, and remembered he used to come here when he was a kid growing up. "Why'd you stop?" the guard asked. "Sorry," Alibi said. "Just had a sort of flashback. Used to come here to look at the stars." The guard looked up past Alibi. "Huh." Alibi kept looking up. thinking back to more innocent times. We gonna keep going? The guard verbally prodded. Yeah, Alibi answered. He looked back down. The safe security guard was sweating in his uniform, overdressed for a jog. I can see you're enjoying it, Alibi said. He turned back to the corridor under the stars and ran ahead, as the guard grunted and began to run behind him again. The sealed door at the corridor's end opened onto the observation deck over the port. Huh, Alibi was surprised. He got out his wand as he waited, holding the door for the guard as he caught up. Alibi looked at Krish's map. We're going in here? The guard asked. I guess, Alibi said, double-checking the dock's map now. Yep, just for a little bit. After a quick jog to another exit, Krish's route led them out of the observation deck to a series of ramps that took them down to the cargo level, the whole time keeping them just outside of the port's higher security zone. The next sealed door opened on an expansive open space, busy with cargo containers of different dimensions moving around on anti-grav pallets driven by operators of various races. We're crossing the cargo interchange? The guard asked. Who came up with this route? Dr. Krishnavarti, Alibi said. He told me he used to run it. Maybe it was different then, the guard said. I've seen that guy. Doesn't look like he runs much these days. He's said to be sure to stay on the pedestrian path through here, Alibi said. He consulted the wand. The path ran around the outer edge of the interchange space, starting over on their right. This way. Alibi led his new friend around the cargo space's perimeter, out another sealed door, and back up another series of ramps to a second observation deck, showing off the series' central port's symmetrical design. The deck on this side had been altered, however, shortened. Much of it turned into ship's berths to meet increased demand when the station had proven popular. A security gate blocked access to that section a short distance past the door Alibi and his shadow used to leave the observation area. As on the port's other side, it was off the deck and onto another stellar station perimeter corridor, whose transparent top half allowed the runners to see out across the short plateau around them and into deep space. The stars out here didn't twinkle, but they did sometimes blink out for a second or two, as some distant asteroid temporarily eclipsed them. Kind of pretty out here, the guard said. Didn't know they had these hallways like this. I grew up here, Alibi said, but I forgot about them. Didn't remember till I opened the door on the other side and looked up. The doors are the only drawback, the guard said. Hate to keep breaking up the run. Kind of a necessary evil running on a space station, I figure, unless you're on a treadmill, Alibi said. He looked at the wand. The good news is, on this side, this observation corridor is about twice as long as over on the other side. Won't hit a door quite as soon. The guard grunted a laugh as he kept up behind Alibi. Hey, how long is this run? 2K, Krish said, Alibi told him. A little bit longer. Uh-huh, he said, winded. How's your leg? Alibi hadn't thought about the Rodé leg as they ran. Turning his attention to it made it throb and pinch a little, as if Alibi's awareness stirred it somehow. It's okay unless I think about it, Alibi said. Oh, the guard said, chagrined. Sorry. Nah, don't worry about it, Alibi said. You couldn't know that. The two men jogged the rest of the distance in silence. Another safe security guard was on post outside Alibi's hospital room when they returned. Alibi turned back to his running companion and extended his hand. Well, you know me. I'm Alibi Jones. What's your name, man? Safe Security Officer Jim Cooper, he said, shaking Alibi's hand. Coop. Nice to meet you, Coop, Alibi said. Officer Cooper. Thanks for the run, the guard said. A surprise workout. Thanks for letting me go with you.
That's what just happened, is it?
Didn't seem like it was optional, Alibi said. He regretted it. Cooper's mood shifted, darkened. Look, the guard said, plenty of us in the safe know you're getting worked over hard by the new government because of Kismet. But accident or not, a lot of people blame you for their dead relatives there. You might not be worried about you going on a run, Alibi Jones, but we in security are. Just trying to keep you safe, whether you like it or not. Thanks, Alibi said. Good run, Coop. Alibi turned,
and nodded at the other safe security officer as he walked past the guard back into his room. He mulled over the route as he lingered in the refresher, wondering where Krish was thinking he'd leave the path and the station, as he let vibrations and air currents whisk him clean. His skin began to tingle, and he knew he'd been in almost too long. He stopped the refresher. Must be something to do with that cargo area. But how am I going to get from there through port security? Krish better come up with something good. When Alibi stepped out of the door of his hospital room the next day, the safe security guard on duty was someone new he hadn't seen before. She glared at him briefly, then looked away to stare ahead into space and ignore him. "I'm off," Alibi said to her. "Ready for a run?" "I sure am," someone said from up the hallway. Officer Cooper was leaning against the wall, stretching his quads a short distance down the hall, dressed in a runner's jumpsuit and sneakers.
"Didn't stretch first yesterday," Cooper said. "Paying for it."
"You again, huh?" Alibi said.
"Why not?" Cooper answered. "Somebody should, and I might as well get in better shape. You can get flabby on these station gigs way too easily."
"Okay, then," Alibi said. "You remember the way?"
"Sort of," the guard said.
"Me too," Alibi said. He pulled his wand from his runner's pouch he wore around his waist and called up Krish's map. "Got this just in case." Alibi tucked the wand away and began jogging along the now semi-familiar route, Officer Cooper close behind.
"So very sure this protection is for my own good."
He looked back at Officer Cooper. The guard waved at him.
"This Cooper guy may have good intentions. Someone at his level wouldn't know I was being held against my will, apparently. Might not, anyway. If the intent wasn't shared."
The run was easier the second time through the route, as both men sort of knew where they were going. They kept at it. Alibi had to give Coop credit for stubborn stick-to-itiveness. He showed up to run with him every day for the next 7.
"Shit. I don't even want to keep doing this. Hope Krish has something for me soon. Some things."
"Alibi!"
On their 8th day jogging the path, Krish flagged them down as he and Officer Cooper were running past.
"Hey, Krish! How goes the running?" Krish asked.
"Pretty well," Alibi said.
"Hey!" Cooper interrupted. "Isn't this the guy who mapped this course for you?"
Alibi looked at Cooper and nodded. He turned back to Krish.
"This is Officer Cooper, Krish. He's been running with me. Coop, this is Dr. Krishnaverdi, better known as Krish."
Krish extended his hand. Cooper took it and shook it.
"I'm better known as Coop. Nice to meet you, Krish."
He smiled.
"This is a pretty good course. You used to run it, huh?"
"Long ago," Krish said. "I hardly remember it. But I had the map. And when we decided Alibi needed the exercise, we thought this would get him moving. Motivate him."
"Seems to be working," Cooper said.
"So far, so good," Alibi said.
"Alibi, can you stop by my office later?" Krish asked. "I want to ask you some questions about your leg, how it's reacting to the running. The other doctors are expressing concerns with your jogging routine."
"Sure, Krish," Alibi said. "Seems okay, though."
"Well, we'll make it official. Later, then?" Krish said.
"Sure."
"Later," Krish said. "Nice to meet you, Officer Coop."
Krish turned and left the other two standing in the hallway. Alibi shrugged and started to jog again. Cooper caught up.
"What's he a doctor of?" Cooper asked Alibi.
"You know," Alibi said, "I have no idea." He laughed. "He's an old family friend, known him my whole life, and he's always seemed to know everything."
"Really smart, huh?"
"Yeah," Alibi said. "He's an expert on time travel, but I think he might be a doctor of alien technology, whatever they call that. He knows a lot about the tech from other races. That's why he's here working on my leg."
"I'm not supposed to know about your leg," Cooper said. "Need to know."
"I told you about it last week," Alibi said, confused.
"Yeah, and when my superiors found out I knew, I got in trouble," Cooper said. "Nothing big, but now I don't know about your leg."
"Gotcha," Alibi said. The two ran through the observation deck and down the ramps to the lower cargo handling area in silence. Alibi held the door open for Cooper as they entered the wide open space. "Sorry if I got you in trouble," Alibi said. "Should have thought about that. It's all been pretty top secret."
"Not to worry," Cooper said. "Wasn't even going to bring it up, just can't let you tell me anything else."
"Uh-huh," Alibi said. "Gotcha." They made the rest of the run in silence.
"See you tomorrow,"
Cooper said, as they reached Alibi's hospital room.
"Yeah," Alibi said, breathing a little heavy. "Good run." "Yeah," the officer jogged off, hardly winded.
Alibi laughed.
"And he said he was getting flabby," Alibi said to himself. "Makes me look bad."
Alibi hit the refresher in the hospital room and cleaned up after the run. Throwing on a fresh jumpsuit, he made his way over to Krish's borrowed lab and office.
"Ah, Alibi! Good!" Krish said, as Alibi walked in.
Alibi felt hair stand up on end, all over his body for a brief second.
"Tingles, eh? Force field," Krish said. "Now, we can talk."
"Precautions?" Alibi looked around the room, as if he'd be able to see the bugs.
"Nothing pre about it," Krish said. "Pure caution. I don't trust this office. Ceres Central is not what it used to be. That man Constantine seems to be moving his own people into place here, wherever he can. I am sure it is bugged, but right now his people can't see and hear us."
"Yeah, about that," Alibi said. "I really need to get out of here. Like, soon, Krish."
"Yes, Alibi, you do," Krish agreed. "The other two have gotten permission to attempt another amputation. It's scheduled for tomorrow night. I'm not supposed to tell you, of course."
"The other two? The other doctors?" Alibi asked. "But that almost killed me."
"Vaughn and Curry have been pushing for it all the same," Krish said. "And some of the new blood at the project agreed. Of course, the local Ceres authorities had no problem with it."
"Wait," Alibi said. "Don't I have to give permission?"
"Evidently not. Not with this bunch," Krish said. "I do not approve."
"Damn."
That was Chapter 26 of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Turns out they really do want to dissect Alibi. Man. Or they at least want to try to remove his alien leg. Even though their first attempt at that almost killed him. But Krish has Alibi jogging for a cause, for a reason, with a purpose here. Somehow related to Alibi escaping from his captivity on Ceres Central. That's been in the works here. We'll see if Krish can execute his escape plan for Alibi Jones. Coming up in our next chapter of Alibi Jones and the Hornet's Nest on Glow in the Dark Radio. We'll get into Chapter 27 on our next episode. Recap of the news before I completely wrap things up here. I want to remind you my new book is out, The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories, new ebook, new paperback. I want to thank those of you who have picked up a copy already, because people have been buying it, which is nice to see. When you put a book out, you want people to buy that book. And if you're more the audiobook type, that is coming. As of this morning, I'm recording this Sunday morning, just before noon, actually. And before noon, I've gotten those audio files together, I've gotten them off to Audible, and so in the next couple of weeks, we'll have that as an audiobook for you. The Adventures of Alibi Jones, 6 short stories. And the audiobook that I'm narrating for R.L. Dean, his The Rhine, Harmony Book 1, that has been completed this week as well. And so that will be coming in the next couple of weeks. Really looking forward to you hearing that. It's me narrating someone else's work. I want to know what you think about that. So that's on the way. And that's a recap of the news, and that's all for this time around. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordio. I am your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.